be this morning. John chapter 13. Tacky Christians. How do you fix a broken tuba? A tube of glue. How do you fix broken roller skates? A roll of tape. How do you fix a broken tomato? Oh, come on, I think you'd catch on by now. Tomato paste, there you go. How about a broken pumpkin? Pumpkin patch. How do you fix a broken lunatic? Crazy glue. Yeah. So how do you fix a broken church? The bond of love. And I should have added one more slide. How do you fix a broken world? Jesus. Today we're going to take this pledge. I will be a unifying member of this church. I will be a unifying member of this church. John chapter 13 and verse 35. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So, Father, you set the stage really well this morning. We all came in and we're a little bit quiet. And some of us know each other very well. And some of us hardly know one another. And yet your command comes forth for us to love each other. Would you help us to figure that out and to get it right? Just because we know each other very well doesn't necessarily mean we love each other well. As a church, as a foundation, help us to get there. And may this message be a step in that direction, we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. I called to talk to Jack on Friday, and his daughter answered the phone. And she said, Jack hasn't been talking since Tuesday or Wednesday, and he's not long for this world. And I said, oh, I didn't. Last I saw Jack a couple weeks ago, he just was looking fit as a fiddle, doing so well. And so I was privileged to spend some time on Friday afternoon with Jack. He wasn't able to respond. You could tell by his eyelids. He was trying to open his eyes. He was trying to talk. I sang Rock of Ages to him, and he lifted his hand. It looked like he was, you know, kind of conducting a little bit, just trying to respond best he could. And he went home to be with the Lord yesterday, if you hadn't heard the news. And Jack and Dot were part of the fabric of our church. They were greeters. They were moms and dads to us. And yesterday I started, you know, just tapping out a few words for the eulogy. And I couldn't believe how many memories I had of Jack. How many things we did together. How many intersections we had in our lives. And isn't that one of the sad things about life? It just goes so quick. And by the time you sit down and think about things, a lot of it's too late, you know? A lot of the words you could have spoken were left unsaid and such. And this isn't in my notes, so this is all, you get this for free. I'm not charging overtime or anything. But how precious it is that we love each other and that we have church together. It would be nice, I think, sometime to just take some time and just sit together and enjoy some of the memories of the past and talk about some of the encouragements, maybe some of the hard times and such. And maybe we'll do that in our life group a little bit this summer, but keep the Kramers in prayer and their dear family and our church family in prayer as well. Well, we began this series a couple of Sundays ago with a sermon titled Suited to Serve. And we talked about the church being made up of a lot of members with unique gifts and talents all their own. The church becomes stronger as each individual gets stronger. As you develop in the Lord, we develop together as a body in Christ. We are centered on a few vital truths. Jesus Christ is Lord, and we are here to serve Him. Not just this church is here to serve Him. The reason you were born is to serve Christ. The reason you live is to worship Him and bring Him honor and glory. And if each of us will take up that cause and get a grip on that, when we get together, it is going to expand exponentially. And we're going to be able to do a wonderful work in His name. We're here to lift up Jesus, preach the word, and save the lost. And you have gifts that are going to lend to one or more of those activities, lifting Him up in worship and strengthening our body through preaching the word and fellowship with one another. And then, of course, loving everybody else and showing them this glory of Christ that is in us that they long for, they want. I've seen a lot of stuff in the world. There is nothing more beautiful than Jesus. There's nothing more attractive than God. There's nothing more desirable than the peace and the joy and the comfort that only He can give. And if that begins to show through us, that's certainly going to attract a lost and a broken world. One of the pledges that we took a couple weeks ago, even if no one else serves, I will. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I'm not waiting for somebody else. I will serve the Lord. I'm not going to be discouraged if I see a sea of people who are not interested in following after God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Even if no one else serves, I will. A true biblical member is one who serves, or who gives abundantly and serves without hesitation. A true biblical member is one who gives abundantly and serves without hesitation. And when you find those members among us, you find happy people. You find people that God is pouring into in a tremendous way. We will give a minimum of 10% of our income to the cause, and we will show up to serve. There is no task too menial. There is no one who is marginalized. Our babies are important and precious to us. Our oldest members are important and precious to us, and everybody in between. Now, assembling a lot of gifted people together in one place has a potential for great accomplishment. Think about the gifts and the talents represented just in this room this morning. It also has the potential for a great disaster. You know what people are like? You ever been insulted? I mean, really, just disgustingly so? Has anybody ever cut you off at the knees? People can be extremely cruel. But catch this. Some people, when they're trying to be nice to you, can cut you off at the knees and be extremely cruel. People. So if we're going to take all of our gifts and talents and we're going to work them together for blessing one another and lifting up the Lord, what's got to take place? Because there are a lot of churches who have blown it. They've left behind a bad reputation. They've pushed other people away from Christ. People say, hey, if that's a Christian, I don't want anything to do with it. We don't want to do harm to the society in which we live. We don't want to do harm to the name of Christ. But conversely, when a church gets it right, when churches have gotten it right, millions of souls have been saved. billions of issues have been resolved. A sweetness, a joy, a strength. Would you agree with me that church can become a family to you? In fact, it can become more precious than your extended family. The determining factor between success and failure for any church is unity. Unity. We're not like Walmart. I'm always amazed, and I spend a lot of time at Walmart. I live in the shadow of Walmart, you know. So it's not unusual for me to be in Walmart two or three times in a day. You know, I'll come home, the wife will say, hey, did you get that? No, I'll see you later. But I walk through and I look at these people, and the faces are always different. Ever so often, I run into somebody I know, but usually I've never seen these people before, and we're just, you know, it's every man, woman, and child for themselves. And you know, one of the things that irks me is when they park the cart on one side of the aisle, and then they're looking at something on the other side of the aisle. You can't get through. You can have a traffic jam in Walmart of three and four carts. And then you get this one who comes up behind all the rest of you and just is going to plow through everything and make it through. Nevertheless, I do love Walmart because of the prices inside. But we're not Walmart. We're not just here to get something. We're here to be something. We're here to connect with each other. Those people we pass in the hallway, they're not strangers, they're ours. Even if they're visitors for the first time, they belong to us and we're part of them. This is church. This isn't the Moose Lounge. This isn't the gun club. This is church. And you belong here. And we love you. We appreciate that you're here. And sometimes we get caught up in our own little stuff and we don't let that show, but shame on us. There's a lost and dying world just outside of us. And if we are going to do anything about that, then we have to get together. We have to get along. We have to get over whatever things come against us. The glue that keeps a church unified is love. Jesus talked a lot about love and unity, about us getting it together. He said that he and the Father are one, and he prayed that we would be one as he and the Father are one. Through his apostles, he warned us that there would be wolves coming to kill, steal, and destroy, devour, disrupt, and divide. But just like the story of the three little pigs, we get a firm foundation, we get a strong structure. Those wolves can huff and puff all they want. They will not blow our house down. We will stand in the name of the Lord our God. And although, and I don't know if you're like me or not, I haven't been able to watch much news lately. I have been so disgusted at what I am seeing. I catch little tidbits because I think that I ought to be apprised, but I can't sit there and listen to a whole newscast. I have to change back and forth a little bit and so on. It irks me. And it seems to me like we're trying to destroy our own nation and take it apart. But I'm telling you, we have the answer. If we will stand and trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can turn this nation around. It doesn't matter how many of us there are. It doesn't matter that the enemy controls the media. It doesn't matter how much a foothold they have in Washington. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and he will heal our land. That's the formula. That's what it's all about. Greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. If the church can just start being the church. And I, I'm really not worried about the Assemblies of God. And I'm really not worried about the Roman Catholic Church. And I'm really not worried about the Lutherans or the Presbyterians or what anybody else does. I'm simple-minded enough to believe that if I, Joel Everhart, get it right with God, there will be a power flowing through me that can heal this land. That if we, as New Life Assembly of God, can get it right, regardless of what everybody else and anybody else is doing in the whole world, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is healer, mighty in power. Amen. Hey, that's a pretty good amen for the 8 a.m. service. It's true. It's true. If you and I will get our lives right, if we as a church will do this thing right, and I don't know that we can do it all at once short of an anointing from the Holy Spirit, but with that anointing, I believe he's getting us better. I've been saying for years now, I want us to be a better church. I want to be a better pastor. And I believe God's answering those prayers. I believe we're seeing the workings of it even now. And it all happens when one cell at a time, we step forward and we say, okay, God, I want to be that. I want to be right. I want to be ready. I want to be dwelling in your presence. I want to be abiding in you, the branch in the vine, and all those good scriptural metaphors. Make me that, I pray. I believe that our foundation is set. Love, respect, mission. We have a team of people ready to serve and meet needs. We have a prayer team pumping blood into our veins. Several teams working at evangelism. A great kids team. There are a lot of good, hardworking people around here doing it in the name of love. But I think we're just a skeleton. We have our basics down. We've got coordinators in place. We've got some teachers. We've got folk who are doing a fine job, but we need some skin. We need some meat. We need some muscle. I learned recently something about vision. And that's when your plate is too full, your headlights are underwater. You're kind of moving forward, but you can't see forward. You're just kind of slugging on through. But when you have enough help, when you have people who are coming alongside you, when they're taking care of details, when each is doing their job that they're called to do, then that pops those headlights up out of the water and off we go. And when any individual among us is bogged down, we have to be cognizant of that. When you're picking up your kids from a kid's class, look into the eyes of the teacher. Ask them how they're doing. Love on them a little bit. Our worship team, they're doing a wonderful job. When they're not up on stage, but when they're down among us, look into their eyes. How you doing? Is there anything I could pray with you about? And try to lift the burden just a little bit. We've got some great people that will do anything. And they are. But their headlights are getting down under the water, under the flow. How are things at home? Taking care of parents, taking care of kids, health issues. We need to care about each other. Nobody should feel lonely within the body. But it's going to take all of us helping to get those headlights up out of the water. Yeah, I found out when you have some help, did you notice how I was able to think about everything happening in June? Huh? Does that sound like me? Do you know what has happened to me? I have a secretary. And she's begun to take care of details. So I started saying things to her the other day. Oh, we have to start. She said, oh, wow, I'm supposed to be saying that to you. I said, yeah, you know what's happened here? And that's when this truth hit me. She's taking care of a lot of the details so my mind can start working again. Of all the things I've ever lost, the thing I miss the most is my mind. And it's beginning to recover. It's an amazing experience to remember what day of the week it is. That's awesome, you know, all that stuff. And now I see her headlights are going down under, you know, because she's taking care of so much stuff. And we have to help each other and shepherd each other. You know, I care about our kids' workers. They're wonderful people. And you don't want to see them get taken off with the current. Because it has happened where people have just worked so hard and been so dedicated and given so much, but they get to a point where they just can't give anymore and they lose their grip and they float away. We've lost pastors. We've lost pastors' wives. We've lost workers. We've lost missionaries. We've lost so many people because the rest of us haven't linked arms with them and shown that we care. Is there somebody that you could just reach out to and say, hey, you're doing a great job and I appreciate what you do? So here's a goal for us. Love one another dearly. You know, we have to love the world. We have to care about the lost and dying. That's a non-negotiable. But we cannot forget each other. Barb and I were talking about this the other day again. Through our ministry, so often we've seen people love sinners so much. They'll put up with all kind of garbage and guff, and you know, they just want to see those sinners get saved. But they can't stand other saints. And they're very hard on each other. And well, they did this, I can't, you know, I'm not going to have anything to do with them anymore. We really have to love each other like we love sinners. Because we're still sinners, aren't we? We still blow it every day. Sometimes I have a bad attitude. Sometimes, you know, I say a lousy thing. And we have to love each other like we love the worst of sinners. And that's love one another dearly. Serve unselfishly. I don't care what anybody else does. I want to give my all. And then enjoy the journey. I so often talk about, I don't want anybody serving begrudgingly. And I don't want that because I think it's demeaning to our God. I think He deserves joyful service. Whatever the task is, whatever we're called to do, I believe He deserves joyful service. And so most of the time it's my attitude that needs to change, but sometimes I have to change what I'm doing because He deserves the best. And then that last one, it's very precious to me. We get there together. We don't lose anybody. Maybe they're going through a very difficult time in their life. Can't we be there for them? Can't we make sure that we get there? Maybe they hate us for a while. I am not required to hate them back. I'm required to love them and get there together. So we talked a moment ago about wolves coming in. But sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. If we're not actively working for unity in our body, it'll fall apart on its own. Just like the building, you have to have maintenance. Our relationships need maintenance. We have to get together, not just Sunday morning for a service. We have to make appointments. That's why we have a picnic. That's why we're going to give small groups a try. Because you've got something to say. Sometimes you come into church and you really need to say something to somebody. And that urge goes unsatisfied. And you go home. You need to connect to somebody else. We need to learn how to make that happen. So this week's pledge is, I will be a unifying member of this church. I will be a unifying member of this church. And I suppose, first of all, that means I'm going to avoid being a disunifying member of this church. I'm going to try not to be a source of irritation or pain to somebody else. I'm going to watch my mouth, and boy, I got a big one, my attitude and my actions whenever I disagree with someone or something. There's always someone. There's always something. And I need to watch my attitude. The Bible says, touch not my anointed. And then Paul warns us to properly discern the body of Christ. Because when we don't, bad things happen to us. Who are the anointed of God? They're his people. And I have to be careful. Doesn't matter that I'm a pastor. I have to be careful how I talk about the people of God, how I talk to the people of God. I have sinned against the church. I have sinned against individual members, thinking or talking ill about them. I've had to call people up. I've had to take them aside. And those are only the ones I know about. How many times have I offended, not even knowing I'm offending? I'm pretty good at that. And, you know, hey, what I said the other day, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have used those words. I don't know what I was thinking. Chances are you've sinned against the body too. It's kind of hard not to. When you think about what a mess each one of us is, you can bring some baggage with you from work or from home or from somewhere else and kind of miss other people. I hate to tell you this, but if a friend won't tell you, who will? Sometimes you're grouchy, downright irritable, pain to have around. Just sometimes. And we hurt each other when we're like that. Not meaning to, but we do. And that helps us to have grace with everybody else. Refuse to enter into negative conversations that are discouraging and not constructive. Now, we're all about constructive criticism and, hey, have you thought about this? And maybe we should do that. And that's all good. But don't disparage other members of the body. Make it a practice to be an encourager to a person's face and behind their back. Then, grow some thick skin. The enemy will always be trying to get in under your skin and destroy you from the inside out. Every one of us who has served has stories to tell of times when we've been very gracious and loving to somebody and they have just been so rude and ugly back to us. Everybody's got those stories. Sadly, a lot of people just quit right there. Well, I did this and I did that and I've been doing that for so long, and then they just came up and they said, blah, all over me. No, I don't need this. And so you just walk away because you don't want that anymore. Okay, who wins? The devil wins. He's laughing. He kicked back at his head, got his feet up on it, and he just laughed. Another one down. Oh, and it was so easy. I just knocked the heads of two knuckleheads together, and now they're both disgusted with the Lord, and they walked out on him. It goes with the territory. You're going to live in this world with other people. You're going to get cut off every once in a while. You're going to see a mess left behind for you to clean up. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2 read, walk worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds. Walk worthy of the calling you have received. You are a child of God. With all humility. When your pride gets hurt, the first question you need to ask is, what am I doing with pride anyway? It's a good thing it got hurt, because now I know it's there and we need to deal with that. And gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit. What am I doing to unify this body? What am I doing to bring us together? I will be a unifying member of this church. I'm going to embarrass Emily just for a minute. Emily, did you want to stand up to be recognized while I embarrass you, or you fine just there? Okay. Emily is one of the most positive people I know. If you talk to her at any length about her history and some of her experiences, there's no reason for her to be positive. And if you've met Ron, you understand that comment. But thank God there's been a lot of change in recent times. But she won't allow you to be negative. You can talk about something, and she will change the current. And I believe the Lord has done a work in her life, and she now has a gift. So if you're having trouble with that, buddy up with Em for a little while. And just try to catch that flow. And if you're hurt by somebody or something, she'll help you find that silver lining. And it's not just Em. There are others around. But she was the name that came to mind to me, first of all. If you're looking for a pity party, don't invite Em. She won't. But if you're looking to get a better attitude, then she'll help you to find that. And wouldn't that be a wonderful reputation for each one of us to have? To be a lifter, to strengthen, to point in a positive direction. The health of our church depends on unity. Unity depends on love. Love requires encouragement, enthusiasm, and cooperation. You ever feel discouraged on your way to church? You ever feel a little down or blue about it? You ever question, why am I going? Where do you think those feelings, comments, and emotions come from? Do you think that's the Lord? No. So when those kinds of emotions and feelings come, you need to do battle, don't you? You need to get the toolbox out. You need to find out, what do I need to change? What do I need to start here? And you will find that when you were fought the hardest to get to church, those were the most valuable times to get there. You walk away saying, oh, Lord, I'm so glad I didn't listen to myself or the devil, whoever that was. But I pushed through. Be a force for unity here at New Life. Chances are somebody else had a struggle today getting here. Maybe if you would smile, maybe if you would reach out to them, it would make a big difference. As I see it, there's three choices for us coming to church. We can serve, we can veg, we can destroy. And sometimes we can destroy even while we're serving if our motives aren't right. But a unified church is powerful. It is effective. Tom Rainer, author of the book, I'm a Church Member, writes this. Too many times members have anger and hurt because of something another member has said or done. Some members are angry and hurt at a pastor and staff because of something they said or did or failed to do. It's just the truth. And when we have that, what are we supposed to do with it? Talk to everybody else about it. You said, jerk, and you have my seat and my parking place. guy preached Miss Dinner. The Bible says, go to them and show them their fault and win your brother or sister back. Amen. Don't let it fester. Don't let it grow. Get it taken care of and you'll find the result will be better than the beginning. And I'd add that sometimes we carry past church with us, hurts with us to the new church. They really hurt you in the last place and you got some wounds. You tried to mend it. You tried to get things right, but they would have none of it, and it just still hurts. And so you come into a new situation and say, you know what? I'm not going to get involved anymore. I am not going to let that happen again. I'm not going to put myself out there. And so you put on the armor, but it's not the armor of God. You're armoring yourself against hurt and against love and against vulnerability. And you're actually protecting yourself from the call of God and the body of Christ. But when you live in a family, you're going to get hurt sometimes. I can't prevent that. But to guard yourself against love and intimacy is to guard yourself against life. Colossians 3, 12 through 14 read, therefore God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. So if instead of coming looking for what we need, we came with heartfelt compassion and kindness, I'm going to find somebody else that I can love on today. I'm going to find somebody else to connect with. That's how you get dressed for church. There are no perfect pastors. There's no perfect staff. No perfect church members, no perfect churches. I accepted a very long time ago that I'm no prize. I keep going back to God and saying, are you sure you want me to be a pastor? Because it doesn't make sense to me. And I do cherish the people that God has brought together. From time to time, I hear one talk about another. And it cuts. It cuts. Because I think, no, we don't have the choice. We pastors don't have meetings every once in a while and say, okay, I'll trade you two cooks for a playground coordinator. Yeah, well, I got this one. It got a kind of an attitude right now, but maybe they'll be better in your church. I got this one I'm just sick and tired of. Please take them away. You know, we can't do that. We are us, and God brought us together. He knew what he was doing, and we're all good for each other. And that we just have to figure it out. Now, a certain amount of energy, of course, needs to be spent keeping ourselves healthy. But we want to get healthy enough to be rescuers and first responders to a hurting and dying world. Are you ready to say this? Now, maybe you're not, and that's fine. But I hope you'll come to this place. I will be a unifying member of this church. I'll find where I belong, and I will do what I can. If no one else serves, I will. Will you stand with me this morning?